Moving to Europe's ongoing crisis, Russia executed an overnight missile and drone barrage across Ukraine that killed at least 10 people. This is the grinding rhythm of the war. Large-scale strikes, civilian casualties, international condemnation, and then the morning after. What's notable about the current moment is that Zelensky has announced a significant diplomatic reshuffle specifically designed to address what his office describes as a critical Patriot interceptor shortage.
The Patriot situation is genuinely acute. The interceptors that shoot down Russian missiles and drones are expensive, roughly $4 million each, and Ukraine is burning through them faster than production lines can replenish them. Zelensky's decision to restructure his embassy staff around the single mission of getting allies to actually deliver on their commitments rather than just pledging support reflects a frustration that has been building for months. Pledges look good in communiques. What matters is what arrives at Ukrainian air defense batteries.
Congressman McCall's comment that Ukraine Patriot production serves Lockheed Martin cuts to a real political tension in Washington. There's a growing faction that frames continued military support for Ukraine in explicitly industrial policy terms. It supports American defense jobs. It depletes adversary stockpiles. It tests weapon systems in real combat conditions. That's a different argument from the democracy and values framing that dominated early in the war. And it's arguably more durable in the current political environment because it appeals to a different coalition.
The Poland-Ukraine story is something that doesn't get enough attention in Western coverage. Zelensky announced that exhumations of victims from the 1943 Volyn massacres, in which Ukrainian nationalist forces killed somewhere between 50,000 and 100,000 ethnic Poles, will begin within days. He made this announcement on the anniversary of those massacres. On one level, this is a genuine act of historical reconciliation. On another level, it comes at a moment when bilateral relations between Warsaw and Kyiv are already strained, and Poland is a critical logistics corridor for Western weapons deliveries to Ukraine. How Warsaw responds to the exhumations will matter enormously for the practical question of whether that supply line stays open.
Marco Rubio's role in Venezuela policy is worth flagging in the context of this broader geopolitical segment because the New York Times investigation describes something quite specific, not just an influential Secretary of State, but one who has consolidated personal control over Venezuela's strategy to a degree that would be notable for any cabinet official. The details suggest Rubio is effectively running a parallel diplomatic track on Venezuela that operates with unusual autonomy from the normal interagency process. Whether that produces better or worse outcomes is debatable, but concentrated decision-making with less institutional check tends to produce more volatility.
The Venezuela angle also connects to the Latin America piece, the U.S. ambassador's citation of 50,000 gun seizures as evidence of American cooperation with Mexico, while Mexico simultaneously demands more action. That's a classic diplomatic gap between what each side considers progress. The U.S. is counting the guns it's stopping from flowing south. Mexico is counting the violence those guns are causing before they're stopped. They're measuring the same problem from opposite ends of the pipeline.